Here on Cork's Good Times, Red FM. Dan Casey with you for the next hour, bringing you all of the latest sporting action from around the Rebel County and further afield to the action in Croke Park now. And it's not the GAA for once. It is, of course, Munster's clash versus Leinster in GAA HQ. The latest is Leinster's 14 points to Munster's no score. Things are not looking good for Munster with just 12 minutes gone on the clock, and Leinster are pushing for a third try as we speak. Now, earlier today, I caught up with rugby content creator and huge Leinster fan, as you'll soon hear, Tiernan Talks Rugby, to chat about the game. Enjoy. We're delighted to be joined here on the Big Red Bench by Tiernan of Tiernan Talks Rugby on TikTok. Tiernan, on a scale of 1 to 10, how excited are you for this clash, Munster versus Leinster, in a sold-out Croker?
Oh, 10 out of 10, 82,000 people in there for a regular season club game. It's incredible. It's going to be Sunday. Can't wait for it, call myself.
Absolutely, absolutely. Are you expecting the big Munster contingent to go up, or what size of a Munster crowd are you expecting up there?
I wouldn't be expecting as big as they're talking it up now. Like, everyone's saying, oh, it's going to be red, Croker's going to be full of Munster fans. I don't know. I think this is becoming a home fortress for Leinster, and hopefully mostly blue. That's what I'm expecting.
Where does this one rank among the best rivalries in World Club Rugby for you?
Oh, it's without a doubt the best. Like, if there's really... The game itself is ranked up there among the best rivalries, full stop, in the sport of rugby, international and club. But this game, definitely the biggest fixture in the club season, like, across the world. The rivalry between these two, the history, and the attendance that's going to be there later on today just speaks for itself. Massive game.
Do you think the players are going to be amped up for this one? We saw James Lowe speak about the mutual hate. We have seen going down the years of Sexton getting in O'Gara's face. Do you think we're going to see a similar bite in this game today?
Definitely, like usual, and especially with RG Snyman now in Leinster after leaving Munster, and the incident between him and Craig Casey over the summer, that's going to be big, and I think that's really going to fuel up. The team's going to be going for him, and that's just going to make it, you know, 10 times bigger than it always has been.
Well, what was this Craig Casey incident over in South Africa?
So not everyone might have seen it, but Snyman, he went in for a high tackle and it knocked out Craig Casey, and there was so much talk about that after that game. Like, was there bad intent with that? Did he do it on purpose? And it never really got answered, so it'll be really interesting today to see, like, what it's like between the two of them. They weren't talking nicely about each other after either, so.
Yeah, and I was speaking to Calvin Ash of Munster, of course, in Ireland a few weeks back as well. He said himself and Craig had some bad words to say for Snyman, so that one should be interesting. From your perspective, how good is it to see Snyman in a Leinster jersey, and how do you think his performance is going to go today?
Yeah, obviously he's an incredible player. Like, he's huge. Just, he's what you want in that Leinster team. Just, you know, the more physical, the better. Incredible player. And today, it's really his first massive game for Leinster, because obviously he had last week against Belsen away, but this is his first appearance at home, and I think he's going to have a great game. He's a quality player. It's great to have him in the Leinster team, and I think he's going to do great this season. Hopefully he stays fit.
I wonder what the odds are of him scoring a try in the match today. You could just see it happening, couldn't you?
That would be a bit of a repeat of the Grealish and Rice scoring against us over there in Dublin a couple weeks ago.
I think so.
Yeah, like the scenes of that happened.
I mean, looking at that Leinster team here, it is scary from a Munster perspective, to say the least. 12 Irish internationals starting in this one. I mean, you must be absolutely delighted with this team, Tiernan.
It is great to see. It's even better to see Kieran Frawley, the main man at 10. So much calling for him over the summer, even the past season, just to play him in that 10 jersey, and everyone is finally being listened to. He's being played there, and I think today it's going to be an absolute battle between him and Crowley, because Crowley, I think, knows that Frawley, Andy Farrell, likes him, and he could easily, if he has a good season, could take the Ireland jersey off him. So it's going to be an absolute battle between the two of them today. That's going to be the main thing to watch out for.
Yeah.
I think he's a great performance.
In terms of battles all over the field, I mean, we're going to have the number 10s shooting off against each other. Potentially Snyman versus Craig Casey. Any other battles you think could be key parts in this match today?
A bit of a size difference in that one.
there sure is.
Yeah, I think those are definitely going to be the main two to watch out for. Obviously, you have players like Hugo Keane returning. Mike Haley, then, is he playing? Yeah, he's 15 for Munster. that's going to be one to watch out for. But no, I just think Munster's team, they have a lot of injuries right now, and they're going to have to put up a really good performance if they want to go win this game today, because obviously missing Peter Mahoney, missing Ollie Yeager, missing Shane Daly, three huge players for that team, and they're really going to have to make up for that.
Is there anyone there you're particularly worried about from inside in that Munster team? Klein, Byrne, I mean, O'Donnell, Coombs, we have a few good players, but let's face it, probably just not up to the calibre that the Leinster team have.
Definitely Tadhg Byrne as well, now the captain of Munster. He's an absolute world-class player. He's the second best lock in the world, I think, after Evan Etzebeth in South Africa. And he should really be able to put up good performance, especially, you know, you're looking at the lock pairing. You have Ardy Snyman, James Ryan, and in the Leinster team, and then you have Byrne and John Klein in the Munster team. Like, that is just four incredible players. That's going to be one to watch out for.
I mean, we're there speaking about the Munster injuries, and at a certain point, there's a 20 injuries now. It just has to stop being bad luck. What's your perspective on that one?
Obviously, you look at the starting lineup, it is still a really strong team. Like, that is, it's quality Munster side, but then I think where the game's going to be won and lost is the bench, and when the benches come on. Because obviously, when you have an injury crisis, while your starting 15 might be not, like, you know, might be not that badly affected, it's when you come to the bench, players coming on. If the Leinster, you know, they're able to unload even more internationals onto the pitch, meanwhile Munster, you're going to have to be putting on some, you know, players that don't get much game time. That's where the difference is going to be, I think, and that's where I think Leinster are going to score a lot of points and end up winning the game by a high margin.
Yeah, you seem confident anyway, just from going off that line alone. Give us a final prediction into reasonings why you think they're going to hammer Munster effectively.
Final score prediction, just purely because of the injuries, the sold out Croke Park and what's hopefully a massive Leinster crowd. I think it's going to be too much for Munster. This Leinster team, just full of quality. I'm going to go Leinster by 20 points, a comfortable win. And like I said, those 20 points will be got at the end of the game, last 60 minutes when the bench comes on.
Well, from Munster perspective, we hope that's not the case. But Tiernan, thanks so much for speaking to us here on the Big Red Bench. Really appreciate it, and enjoy the game, but not too much.
I hope I will now. Good luck to all the Munster fans travelling, and best of luck, of course, Leinster.
As smug as ever. As smug as ever. Go on, get out of here.
Have a good one. See you.
Cheers, Tiernan. Best of luck, mate. Well, he predicted Leinster by 20, and after 20 minutes in the game, Leinster lead 21 points to no score. But it is Munster who are pushing at the moment. Hopefully, we can get a try here in the next couple of minutes. Badly need something at least before half time. Now, last night Cork City lost out 4-1 in their last away fixture of the year to Athlone Town. Here's City boss Tim Clancy speaking to us after the game.
4-1 defeat in Athlone, sum that one up for us.
Yeah, listen, not ideal. You'll probably not see a better hat-trick scored. Kyle's got that ability, and we got a great goal just before half time. First half, we thought we were very good. Scored a really good goal with the link up between Evan and Mal and Keats in the centre of the 6-yard box, and then straight after half time, it's a brilliant finish again. Kyle cut in and put one in the far top corner, and then he got a brilliant third goal as well. In fairness, it's a sore one, it's been a difficult 4 or 5 weeks with the league wrapped up and no cup games and that. But it's not ideal, but we'll go again next week.
Yeah, as you said, the three brilliant goals for the hat trick. A bit of a strange 90 minutes at the stoppage with the fireworks and the injuries. Like, first of all, Aaron Healy's injury going off, and Evan then shortly after. Do you have any indication how bad those are?
No, I think Evan's popped his calf a little bit, maybe got a strain in his calf, and fingers crossed, it looks like he's got a dead knee. It's just a big boy flying forward, and he just found himself probably standing still, and I think there's contact in the lower end of his quad, so I'm hoping it's just an impact injury. That's what it looks like. Please God, that's the case. But you probably looked at it and seen that it's Athlone are desperate for points to get into the high up the league playoff places as they can, and maybe we were a little bit going through the motions a little bit in the second half. But again, I think the goals that were scored were worthy winning the game.
I suppose you want to keep it now at 2 defeats for the season, 1 game left. Want to win that one next week. I know it doesn't really matter anyway.
We don't want to lose an unbeaten record at home, and I want to finish the season on a high and get a win in front of our own fans next week and celebrate winning the league then.
Yeah, let's hope for a big crowd in Turner's Cross next Friday to see Cork City lift the First Division trophy. And hopefully it won't be too long before back lifting the Premier Division and or FAI Cup trophies at the Cross. And now, while we're speaking, Cork City, former City player Matt Healy took to the pitch last night once more in Turner's Cross as the Ireland 21s drew 1-1 with Norway. Here's Matt speaking after the game.
Matt Healy, first of all, just your thoughts on the game here tonight?
I mean, for 90 plus minutes, good performance, good shift. Stuck to the game plan, put in the shift, and they didn't really threaten us at all. In the second half, we created a lot of chances. And then, unfortunately, they score at the end, which is disappointing for us. I haven't seen it back or anything. Is it a foul or not? I'm not sure. But it's disappointing in the end.
Yeah. And it was just, the fact that we were probably seconds away from the playoff as well.
Yeah, it is seconds away from a playoff, literally, is right. And I think we should be in a playoff after how we played. So it's disappointing there.
Yeah, and then just OTT now Tuesday. It's just goes all.
Yeah, it's all in the line now to play for. Yeah. All three of us in Norway, us in Italy, all to play for. So we're going to that game, try to win it, and hopefully get over the line.
Very good. And obviously, for Cork, how's it? Just, I suppose, in general, be back in Cork.
Oh, I love it. Perfect, yeah. I love playing this pitch. I've played loads of games on this pitch, so I love being back here and playing.
Very good. And then, I suppose, have you been following Cork City this season?
I have. I'm still buddies with lads on the team in the Cork, so they're flying, yeah. They do very well this league, and yeah, I'm delighted for them to go back up to Premier League, and hopefully they do well next season.
And just finally, on your own, like club career, how's the season going for you?
It's all right, yeah. I'm playing a lot of games, playing a lot of minutes, improving as well, which is a good thing, and testing myself in a different league, in a different environment, so I'm happy with how it's going.
Yeah, great to see Matt Healy speaking about Cork City and playing back in Turner's Cross once more, even though it wasn't really the desired result. But hopefully they can turn things around on Tuesday. And huge thanks to John O'Shea for grabbing the audio. Let's hear from Jim Crawford, the Ireland under-21 manager.
It's disappointing, you know. You're looking at it, I didn't realise at the beginning, okay, but then when you look at it again, it's a free kick, you know. He's pulling Anselmo short, you know, and it's a free kick, but he didn't give it. I went to the referees at the end, they said they didn't see it, which is just what I expected from him, you know, but, you know, it is what it is. It's cost us dearly, you know, it's cost us, for a game where they really didn't threaten us much at all. When we went 1-0 up, we were comfortable. We just have to learn how to see out games better, you know, because obviously it's not the first time. We're home here at Diddley. A number of windows are going and we can see it in injury time again. So it's a tough one to take, particularly now, you know, which, you know, against, you know, right, they're a good team, Norway. We understand that, but I know we're better. But where that puts us now is that we've got to go to Italy on Tuesday and win the game, you know. So probably the biggest challenge for me is to lift the group of players there, because, you know, they're all on the floor inside, and understandably so, you know, in a game where you just feel that maybe there should have been a free kick at the end, but, you know, it's a tough one to take.
Have you kind of had a challenge as big as this now the next few days, trying to lift the lads? Because I know the last campaign, the playoff was secured going into the last game.
Yeah. You always have different types of challenges. Football, they're all as big as each other when you're the head coach of your national team, and you know it won't be. But they're a fantastic group of boys in there that you cannot criticise any of them, you know, because they came on and they gave. The ones that came on gave everything they could. The ones that started the game were fantastic, and they gave everything. They emptied the tank for us, and that's all you can ask for from them, you know. And, it's just the manner in which they scored is just a tough one to take.
Killian said there it's do or die now on Tuesday. Is that kind of the main message?
Yeah. Just have to go there and, you know, Kentucky. Do do us a favour over in Norway. But again, look, that's we can't control that. All we can do is control what happens on Tuesday. So yeah, we've got to go over and Italy and win. But come here, we've approached every game the same, whether we're playing against England, Croatia, Ukraine's under 23's team, whoever it was, we want to win every game, you know. And the players we've got in the dressing room there, they'll relish that type of challenge, that's for sure.
And just last one for me, kind of bar the last minute heartbreak, were you kind of pleased with the performance levels?
It was a tough game. I thought it was a scrappy game, really, you know. I think a lot of tension. I thought we were a little bit rash in possession of the ball, and look, it's pretty understandable at times, you know, where there was a huge amount of pressure, but we never spoke about qualifying during the weekend, and it was something that I made a conscious decision that, you know, the players need to concentrate on their roles and responsibilities of whatever position they're in, as part of a unit, as part of the team. And if we could do that, the byproduct normally of that is 3 points. And look, as I say, it was you know, the effort was great, probably a little bit more quality in possession is something that we can look at for Tuesday's game.
In terms of the pull at the end, the jersey pull, was that something had you a view of, or was it kind of the player's reaction or the crowd's reaction, you kind of sensed something?
No, I didn't see it, being honest with you. I didn't see it because I was looking around the ball just in case something happened, and I was just told in there that his shirt was torn, you know. For me, what I'd ask any official, is that a free kick, you know what I mean? And you know, I hope the officials look back over it again and see what they think, because, you know, they said to me that it wasn't a free kick, so, you know, and that they looked at it back and they said it wasn't a free kick, so it's too late now. Like, obviously we can't change anything, but it's a tough one to take.
In terms of how, I suppose, they closed out the game, I know it's tough, I know we were kind of throwing caution to the wind, but where do you see the kind of improvements there?
Sorry?
In terms of, I suppose, closing out the game, right, do you see improvements there and how they kind of manage that?
Yeah, look, you know, the goal stems from our goal kick, you know, like, you know, so, like, we're in control of the game, okay, we go long, but we should be in a nice compact shape, and then all of a sudden, we don't pick up. There was a loose ball that we didn't pick up. Then all of a sudden, you know, Anselmo's under pressure with the ball. So there's so many moving parts where you could, the easy thing to say is Anselmo put it out of play, but it was a little bit before that too that we look at. And then after that, you know, what was our recoveries like, you know? So look, it's disappointing, but I think we have an amazing group of players in there, an amazing group of players, and I've no doubt that, okay, we took from the take tonight, we'll travel to Italy tomorrow, but when Tuesday comes, we'll be ready.
And they'd probably take, I mean, the real moment of class was the goal you scored. That was,
yeah, it was a great goal, and it's something we worked on all week about wing backs getting in the far post, and Sean done that, and it was a great goal.
Yeah, Jim Crawford, the Ireland Under 21's manager there. Huge thanks again to John O'Shea for grabbing that audio for us. The latest from Croker is still Leinster 21 points to Munster's no score. Munster did cross the line, but there was a forward pass in the build up, so it was disallowed. Now, speaking of Croke Park, we're heading to a bit of GAA. Former Kerry manager and Football Rules Committee member Eamon Fitzmaurice spoke to Tommy Rooney at the interim report press conference.
Fitzmaurice, come to talk to.
Anava, yeah. Tommy. How's Sue Hain?
Come on, yeah. Croke Park is always looking well. It looks prickly fine today.
It does.
Very busy weekend coming up next weekend. The Football Review Committee, you've done a lot of work over the last few months. It's not culminating, but there's a showcase, I suppose, happening with the Interprovincial Games. There are 7 core enhancements that are being brought forward, and within that, there's actually about 49 motions. But it's the seven core enhancements that you're focusing on. Why have you gone with these seven? Because we've kind of gone through them, but why specifically these seven, and how come you didn't go for 10 or 6 or 4?
Yeah, and I think there is a perception that even the seven is a lot, but what we've seen is that, and I suppose that's the value of having those matches. You were at one of them yourself above Nennis. You know, that day we were trying the shifting 65 metre line. It was something we said, no, that didn't work, and that we it was something we got rid of afterwards. But what we've seen through the course of our own deliberations and meetings, watching matches and then having those sandbox games, is that we feel that those seven core enhancements together work really well, that they're seamless in terms of coming into the game, they're kind of interdependent, they complement each other, and they make a positive difference, and they're easy, we think, to referee, you know, and that they can cascade down all the levels as well. So I suppose there's a lot you're considering all of the time, like that you'd have maybe kind of this blue sky thinking where you'd love to do this, that and the other thing, but then you have to get down to the nitty gritty and the practicals of it and the practicalities of it. And we finished up with this, these seven core enhancements, and what we've seen in the last two sandbox games in particular is that they've been very good. It's been positive. They've really worked well together. The games have been fast, entertaining, enjoyable to play in, which I think is a very important point, that you know, our players have to be enjoying playing the game at all levels. But I think at times, maybe over the last couple of seasons, we've become such slaves to our systems that, of course, the competitive side of players loves competing, but in terms of the actual joy of playing some of the games, maybe it isn't as enjoyable as it could be. So we're hoping that all of these will make a difference in that regard.
We'll come back there in a second. Just on the kind of interdependency of these rules, right? So there's the structural one in the sense of the keeping three up and three back. How does that complement, say, a scoring arc where we've now potentially got a two-point zone outside of 40 metres and that goals would be worth, at the same time, 4 points? How do they work in tandem?
Well, the way that I would see that working is that, obviously, with having the three up, the big advantage, the way that I see that, is that you have shape to counter-attack quickly. So that's one side of it. The other side of it then, obviously, is that you can only defend with a maximum of 11. So there could be a concern then that if you want to play quite defensive with only 11 players back, what are you going to do? You're going to sit in narrow, deep, and kind of block up the traditional D area, and you're not going to move too far out of it. Whereas with the two-point scoring arc, shooters are going to be developed. They exist as it is, but they're going to get opportunities now to sit out in those pockets, feed the ball over out to them, and it's at a range that players will be able to kick it. And if a team suddenly kicks two or three or four of those two-pointers, well, the team that's sitting very deep and narrow is going to have to push out in them. When they push out in them, there's more space inside. So you would hope that it would encourage teams not to sit in that deep, narrow block, because they could get picked off from outside. And as well, then, the shooting from distance was one of the things that came through in the surveys that people wanted to see, and it is a very exciting thing. And we've seen it in the sandbox games that when players are trying it, that it does get people off their seats, and there's a bit of kind of wondering about it because it's a new enhancement, but at the same time it is exciting. And the other thing I mentioned inside earlier is that what we've seen as well is that attempted two-pointers that are dropping short. You've often said it in your own podcast, it's the most dangerous ball in football. James was always mentioning it, those ones that are dropped short, an attempted point. Well, there's more of those because there's more shots from outside, and you'll have the full forward hanging around inside the edge of the small square, and that he might be able to get a fist in it. So again, just brings a bit of chaos, a bit of entertainment, a bit of excitement. So while in the sandbox games we've been seeing maybe three or four of those scores per game so far, I think as it goes on and it develops and teams come up with strategies how to get shooters into those positions, we'll probably see more of it, particularly if teams early in the league are playing with a bit of a breeze. It's going to be big time on for them then, and it will lend to excitement.
It's the committee themselves, like there's a wide array of administrators and people involved in different areas of the game, but there are a lot of intercounty coaches and a lot of you that would have come up against each other and maybe come up with strategies to play against each other or different game plans or set plays. does this allow that to still happen, these rules? Like, if this new game was to come in next season, these enhancements, do you still think we'll see various different styles and different coaching elements coming out of this?
Yeah, 100%. I mean, one of the things that I could see happening straight away, we'd say in the current game as it stands, you know, a quick kick out is often a short kick out, that, you know, it's a little chip out to the edge of the D, or that's kind of what we see. Because of the ball having to go beyond the 20 metre arc now, those kicks are a bit longer. So what I could actually see happening for a quick kick out now, because the keepers can get them away very quickly, because obviously everyone doesn't have to have cleared the 20 metre line now for the kick out to be taken, is rather than keeping three up at the far side of the field, you can maybe keep four or five up.
Yeah.
And the quick option will be one of those breaking from that space into an area where they're getting a quick kick out, but it's also a long kick out, maybe out 60, 70 yards out to the halfway line, because the teams will have come back naturally defending and attacking together. And if you get the ball down quickly, you could kick over the bodies as they're going out rather than having to wait for them to go out. And I could see quick attacks coming off that. And then obviously, because you've the tree up at the far side, you can move it on quickly and get it up the field. So I straight away, as you're watching even the sandbox games, your own brain is going and you're saying, oh yeah, maybe we could try that, or what about if we did this? So of course there'll be innovation straight away, and there'll be coaching and tactical innovations. But I think that the almost like the conditions we're bringing in, they should speak to kind of positive innovations, that they're, you know, that it is speaking to that kind of thing of moving the ball, entertainment, excitement for the supporters, but as I said already, for the players in particular, that the players are really enjoying it.
You're seeing the speed of the game as well. That's a big thing as well. It's been mentioned quite a bit. Jim Gavin mentioned earlier, he said you're not even halfway through, I suppose, what you
need. That was news to all of us. He dropped that in there nicely today.
I can imagine. So there's a couple of big things happening. There's the showcase games this weekend. There's our Corland or Special Congress. So if we do end up with, and hopefully we do, a lot of these rule enhancements next year, and then they get implemented for the 2026 season into the rule book. Just a final one on this. In terms of like talent ID, and you've been involved in coaching at schools level, at underage level, at inter-county level, at club level, do you think that we might start to see more specialised players coming back, or different kind of players, like maybe a man marker or a tagger, or maybe a very particular inside forward, or maybe even somebody who's got an unbelievable boot that might be able to take shots from distance? Do you think that we'll start to develop these different types of players again? At the minute, there's a lot of interchangeable players in the middle third.
I hope so. Yeah, absolutely. I do think. I think that if the proposals come in, you are going to need your Mark O'Shea style man marker again. You can again have again a Kieran Donaghy style target man that will play close to goals, and that will be his role. Because, you know, in the game as it stands, if you're playing full forward, you can obviously play inside there, but you also have to be able to constantly run back to the far side of the field chasing a corner back who's just taking you for a run. So you have to have a huge aerobic capacity as well as then trying to get back up into shape. So I do think that those players, the big boot as you mentioned, the fella that will be able to kick from outside, even in one of those sandbox games, I think Jim mentioned inside, Dempsey's from Leash, when they had a big target man style full forward, he was excellent. He played as one of the three up, he had a great pair of hands, he was able to score, but he wouldn't have had the aerobic capacity to be constantly up and down the field. And I was asking the lads in the club, I said, is he, and he said he's played very little with us because of the up and down nature. But you could see in this kind of a situation where that kind of profile of player could come back again. So I 100% I could see, if these proposals become rules, that it will be there will be room for those development of those type of players again. And I think that would be good for the game, rather than having very similar profile all the way across the field, that you can have different skill sets. And the other thing is that you still have room for the likes of the Tom Sullivans, the Dion Merchants, that they're defending and they drive up the field and score. Someone else can rotate as one of the three, so it's not taking away from their game. They can still do that, but I do think we'll see more one-on-one defending, more contests, and I think that would be great.
Eamon, thank you.
Welcome. No problem, Tommy.
Eamon Fitzmaurice speaking to Tommy Rooney there, and that concludes the first half here on the Big Red Bench. Plenty more GA coverage to come in the second. Don't go. Yes, welcome back to the Big Red Bench here on Cork's Good Times Red FM. Dan Casey here with you for the next half hour. The latest from Munster's clash with Leinster in Croker is 26 points to 5. in Leinster's favour, unfortunately. Archie Snyman just going over before half-time there. It just had to be him as well, didn't it? To football now, and here's goal-scoring hero Robbie Brady speaking to OTB's Nathan Murphy following the brilliant win over Finland on Thursday evening.
Well, Robbie, what a difference a goal makes. I think this group have waited a long time for a moment like that.
Yeah, felt amazing to get a win tonight. They've been few and far between over the last few years, and I think winning games is the only way you're going to build confidence in a team like this. I said it earlier on, there's millions of pounds of young talent in that dressing room. It's not a bad group of players, and like I said, the hard work we've been putting in is slightly starting to pay off. It's by no means was that a perfect performance, but just to show that grit and gut and character to come back and win the game is something that we look to build on.
You know better than anybody what big tournaments, big moments mean to the Irish people. These players have had such a different experience over the last few years of what representing their country is. Can you talk about your role as a senior player and seeing what they've gone through and then what getting that goal could maybe do in turning things around?
Yeah, it's not even the goal or this game in particular. It's just you try and lead by example in training and do things right. And we've spoke about it. We speak about tournaments and the lads are now from tournaments. They watch when they're younger what it does for the country. We need to start putting results together and building confidence and making it to these tournaments.
And the way to do it, I think it's 12 years since Ireland came from behind away from home to win a competitive game. Even at half time there was a few boos and saw you looking across like this could have gone a very different way.
Yeah, it's hard and I know it's frustrating. I know it must be frustrating, like I said, with the lack of wins over the last few years, and I totally get that. But from being in here and looking, the lads are working hard. Nobody wants to pick up results more than us, and it felt great to get a win there tonight.
The manager obviously said he was going to be experimenting around these games, and was a lot of people wondering about Matt Doherty and his future. You're the senior guy out there now. What have your conversations with Heimer been like about what your role is and, you know, you wanting to be a part of this going forward?
Yeah, it's been good. I've had some good chats with the manager. What he said, they would like, I am one of the senior players now, so it's just more about leading by example, and if needed, I'll be ready to play.
And then to put in a performance like that, both defensively but in an attacking sense as well, and the quality of your delivery for Liam Scales' goal, and then your calmness, the ball is in the air a long time when it comes in from Festi. What's going through your head?
I'm just hoping he misses. If I get a good touch, I'll have a chance.
You got a very good touch.
Yeah. No, listen, I enjoyed it. I thought Festi was excellent when he came on and gave us that little spark we needed to go on and win the game. Scales, he scored a great header, and like I said, we managed to get the win.
Yeah, now it's to back it up on Sunday.
Back it up on Sunday, 3 days rest and we go again.
Yeah, brilliant stuff. Hopefully we can see similar scenes in Greece tomorrow night. Back to the GAA now, and earlier today, Kirby Rangers beat Aroge in their relegation playoff final at a score of 111-26. Here's our very own Ger McCarthy, the hardest working man in Cork showbiz, speaking to player John O'Rourke of Kirby Rangers after the game.
John O'Rourke, congratulations. All about winning today. It didn't really matter how you got there, but you got there in the end, and Kirby Rangers are still a Premier Senior football team.
Yeah, it means a lot to us. I think we went up senior 2005, so we've, you know, the club is built on that year on year, and we've a proud tradition the last 20 years, and it's the last thing we wanted is to go down to the lower grades. So it means a lot to us, but we'll be hoping to push on from here and use it as a springboard. We're counting it as a win now going into next year, and hopefully we can improve next year and push on to where we want to get back to.
Yeah, a lot of young players in this team. I know yourself and the fielders have been around for quite a while, but like those young players that are coming through, it's important that they have some momentum going into next year now.
Yeah, and we have some other good lads coming through over the next 2-3 years, so it was a vital stage for the club. You know, you've seen other very good clubs like neighbours O'Donovan Ross at Donnies, and they've struggled to get back up, because once you go down, it's a tough grades. The grades are tough, so the competition is savage at the moment in Cork. So we knew it's important to stay up there. We had a lot of young lads come through at once, so it's not an easy process to bed into the top level senior, and we have more good lads coming through, so we'll be hoping we can keep the older lads, and we could everyone will progress at the same time. We'll build a strong team for the next couple of years.
You mentioned there in the huddle afterwards you were staring down the barrel there at half time, but what a performance in the second half. Really kicked on the third quarter and kept them scoreless.
We were, they got a good goal, I suppose, in the first half at a critical time, I don't know, probably halfway through the first half. We had started well, but that kind of swung the momentum, and we were struggling to score, even though we had a fairly strong breeze in the first half. Down a point at half time, I suppose it's all in the skiing, it's a great pitch, but it's always harder playing up into those goals. The wind blows hard up the top goals, so we knew we were under savage pressure, but we had it in the back of our minds. We played Clon here last year and we were only up a point, having played with a much stronger wind, so we knew we could play well against the wind. And I suppose we knew from last year we wouldn't give up, we keep battling and we have a good running game. So look, I suppose we probably should have won it more comfortably, and in the end they got a goal the last kick of the game, but it really doesn't matter at this stage. It's, the result does 1 point, 20 points, it doesn't matter.
Exactly. Congratulations, we'll see you next year in the Premier Senior.
Thanks, sir.
Cheers, John.
Here's your speaker, Seamus Hayes, winning manager.
Seamus, what's the overriding emotion at the end of that? You got to win your Premier Senior club, but the overriding emotion for you and your backroom team?
Ah, listen, we've been waiting for that one for a long time, sure. The final feeling, I guess, was one of, like, I couldn't believe how that last one ended up in the back of the net, to be honest. And I was just looking at the ref being like, please don't, you know, please don't have another play, you know, because I think we really deserve to win that game, you know. You know, I think without a doubt we were the better team on the day. Performance from the lads was exceptional given the pressure, and after playing with the wind in the first half, you know, we were only a point up, which was a little bit concerning. But you know, we were here last year against Clonakilty, and you know, we've, you know, lent on that experience basically, and we said, like, we played better up the hill and into the wind, you know. It suits our footballers, you know. I think we're mobile, we're, you know, a young mobile team, and like, it just suits us to move the ball a little faster. And you know, as I said, the pressure was on at half time, but the response was huge, you know.
Yeah, that second half, third quarter, you kept them scoreless, but you kept tacking over the points, and the confidence was there, you could see it building.
Yeah, yeah, bit by bit. And we said that, you know, like, it is hard to score up there, so every score was nearly worth two. So we emphasised that, you know, that we didn't need to, like, you know, start rattling the back of the net straight away, but we did believe the opportunities would come. You know, Dara had a big one and the keeper saved it, fair play. You know, I thought we had great chances, and then my neighbour Paul Adnett came on and it trickled over the line. But like, when it hit the back of the net, I was like, you know, I think we deserved that one, Jert, you know, absolutely, given you know, as I said, it was our first goal, would you believe, in the last 2 years. So to see it hit the back of the net was just, just euphoric.
Relief, status retained, but even talking in the huddle after the game, you were mentioning, like, this is where you step forward now. No, you have to kick on. It's not easy in the Premier Senior, you know that better than anybody, but there seems like there's a bit of momentum and a lot of belief, and key, a lot of young players know that you can build on.
Yeah, look, sure. I mean, I remember going back 10 or 12 years ago before a county semi-final, and you know, John stepped up in the middle of it and said, this is where we should be all the time. And like, that's the motivation for this group now, is that, like, I do believe that the talent is in the group. They're learning their trade the hard way, you know, but I think this will stand to them, this experience. And you know, like, we don't want to be here, Ger. We don't want to be involved in relegation battles, you know. I guess we've had some really tough groups over the last, you know, few years as well, which, you know, the bounce of the ball either way probably we could have gone through. But yeah, like, definitely for this group, it's not you know, we're not in a position where we're happy to be involved in this. Delighted with today's win, but for next year we'll be definitely looking to, you know, progress. And you know we have to start making the knockout stages of the championship.
Well, for today, congratulations, and we'll see you again next year in the Premier Senior.
Thank you, Ger.
And here's Ger speaking to Paddy Cassan, a disappointed Air Oak manager.
Paddy, appreciate you talking to me. Very, very difficult day for Air Oak, but there's only one way to come back from that, and that's to bounce back.
You know, that's it. Look, I know you've asked the questions, like, but it's a tough question just immediately after losing. Look, and look, the bottom line is the same as Ross today. We came here today, it's going to be an unbelievably tough match. You know, there's nothing in between a lot of teams at senior level, and the right way too. To get a result, you have to perform to a certain level. And look, we came here to thinking we believe and we would, like, but we didn't. You know, and I suppose we were still in decent place at half time, but look, ultimately the second half performance was, you know, there's nowhere near good enough. And credit Ross, they took advantage of that, like, and they made it, like, hard in this. But look, it's just, I just spoke to the group there, like, and it's just, look, it's hard to talk about tomorrow when you're dealing with a relegation, you know. And look, they've had some good days over the last number of years, and look, I suppose ultimately it's like, it's always a sign of any good club spirit, like, that you go again, like, do you know what I kind of mean? Like, and you look, you'll see it, like, you know. And but look, I suppose it's just, I know it's just right now I'm just so disappointed, and so disappointed for Rogan, disappointed for the lads, and put a massive effort. And but yeah, there will be other days, but look, for now we just got to deal with the disappointment today in the right way and move forward, you know.
And I fully appreciate that. It's very, very difficult. And we were thankful to speak to us immediately after the game. But what I would say to you is Aerog have won this grade before. It's an incredibly difficult grade, Senior A, but you know how to win it. And there's something there to build on going into next year and beyond.
Oh, sure, maybe so. Like, but it's, it, look, but again, nah, yeah, like, ultimately, of course, when you're dropped on the grade. But it, as I said, like, it's very hard to talk about potential of 2025 when you're after the disappointment of immediately of 24. Like, but look, it's just, you just got, again, as I said, like, it's like, you just got to deal with it. Like, you know, it's football, it's sport, and it's very important in our lives, and we spend a huge amount of time with it. Like, but you know, and then still, it's not life and death, and then, you know, there's a lot tougher things to deal with. And when you got to suck it up, and as I said, it's always a sign of a good club spirit and a good club, you know, that you stick together in the bad days, not just the good days, and that's what they have to do, you know. So, no bother.
Awesome. Thanks for talking to us.
Yeah, no bother.
Yeah, brilliant stuff there from Joe McCarthy and disappointed Paddy Cassan. Sticking with GA action now. 2023 finally got their end. All-Ireland LGFA Junior Champions O'Donovan Rossa will face 2022 All-Ireland LGFA Junior Runners-Up Naomh Avon in this year's Cork LGFA Intermediate County Final on Sunday at 2 in Clodove, ahead of what promises to be an absolute cracking encounter. The Big Red Benches' Joe McCarthy spoke to O'Donovan Rossa captain and Cork senior Laura O'Mahony, as well as Naomh Avon's Cork senior Amy McDonough. There's a huge amount at stake, as the winners of this final will gain promotion to Cork LGFA senior ranks in 2025. And also on this Sunday, Ballincollig face Glanworth in the Junior F County Decider at noon in Clodove, while Kildare and Naomh Fionn Barra clash in the Junior E County Decider at 1:30 in Ballincollig. But now, let's hear firstly from O'Donovan Ross's Laura O'Mahony.
Now then, ahead of Sunday's Cork LGFA Intermediate County Final between O'Donovan Rossa from West Cork and Naomh Avon from Ballyvourney, a fantastic matchup between two teams that have had terrific runs in both Munster and All-Ireland Championships in recent times. We are delighted to be joined by Cork senior footballer and O'Donovan Rossa captain Laura O'Mahony to talk to us here on the Big Red Bench. Laura, you're very welcome. How are you?
Good, thanks, Ciara. How are you?
Not too bad. Very busy time indeed, and for yourselves as well. Back into another county final. I say that because you're coming off a fantastic 2023 where O'Donovan Rossa won the Junior A county title, went on to defeat Clonmac and Moyvan from Kerry to win the Munster, and then went all the way to Dublin and beat Claremorris to win the All-Ireland Junior Final. You've had a good run of form in recent times in O'Donovan Rossa. Is the difference this year, however, getting to a first year up at Intermediate, Laura, the fact that you've got a very mature, or a much more mature squad, and that the younger players that have experienced that run in 2022 and 2023, they're benefiting from that now?
Yeah, 100%. I think the amount of games that we had last year will definitely stand to all of us, not just the young girls, but if you think back to the All-Ireland final, you know, we were down with only a few minutes to go, and Ava was 16 at the time, and she stood up and got a goal for us that basically won the game for us. So I think, like, it's not just the experience that gets it for the younger players now, but hopefully it'll stand to all of us now heading into Sunday.
Yeah, you've been on a good run of form this year in the Intermediate Championship. You topped the round robin stage, only losing once in six games. Form was obviously there, Laura, and you must have been very, very pleased with that form heading into the knockout stages.
Yeah, I suppose coming into this year off the back of our success of last year, there was probably mixed emotions coming into Intermediate. I think, obviously, we had to be somewhat confident with our winning phase last year, but obviously we knew there was going to be a big step up this year in the level that we were playing at. So I suppose that's probably where the hunger came from, and how we got performances together to play well and get those wins. But I think every team sets out at the start of the year to hopefully get to the big day, the final day in the county final. So we're very pleased now to have got there, especially on our first year up.
Indeed, you face a very, very formidable foe in this final on Sunday in Clodove at 2 o'clock. You're facing Naomh Avon, a team you know well, because back in 2022, they're the team that defeated you in the Junior A County Final on that afternoon. I remember speaking to you and speaking to the management team afterwards. It did prove a bit of a turning point for you, Laura, because losing was disappointing, obviously, in a county final, losing to a very, very good Naomh Avon team that went on and went all the way to an All-Ireland Junior Final, only to lose to Saltin Loch Nacara that same year. This is a quality opponent, but is that final, has it been spoken about in 2022 against Naomh Avon in the build-up, or has it been mentioned at all?
I think it might always be in the back of our minds, even though we're not actually saying it to each other. Obviously, that game that we lost is always going to play a part in Sunday. They are a brilliant side, in fairness to them, and they have top caliber of players, but I think we just need to go out on Sunday and park 2022, focus on our last year and how well we played together, and I think use what our strengths are to hopefully get over the line on Sunday.
Yeah, you mentioned that they are a very strong team, as are ye. Now, you've already faced each other in this year's championship, and I was lucky enough to be there for the big red bench down in Skibbereen. You beat them 1-9 to 11 points, but it was Aoife O'Driscoll's goal that proved the difference in the end, Laura. That was a cracking game. I would imagine, as a precursor to Sunday, it's going to be much of the same.
Yeah, I think obviously we were delighted during the group stages to get another win under our belt, but I don't think we can read too much into that game. You know, like, it could have gone either way, and I think, again, it can go either way on Sunday. So we basically more or less have to bring a performance and a half if we want to even get close to what we want.
Indeed you are. Now yourself, you're playing midfield this year alongside Eamon McCarthy, but the forward line, Laura, I put it to you, like, and Eva O'Donovan obviously is often mentioned, she scores a lot of frees and she's one of your heaviest scorers, but the form of Jessica Beechner, Molly O'Neill, Kate O'Donovan and Aoife O'Driscoll, you know, and Trina Murphy as well, that forward line has done exceptionally well this year because there's been a greater spread of scores. I think that's been important for you, certainly in the intermediate grade.
Yeah, definitely. I think you can't really be reliant on one or two players to get your scores anymore, especially as you go up the ranks. And like you said, Ava is a top-class player, but it's even extra now that we have the other girls, you know, contributing to the score. And again, like I've mentioned already, it's the experience that we have from the games last year. You know, I think coming off the back of knowing that we can win in tight situations, people are more confident to take the shot, and we're practicing that at training as well, so it's going well.
Yeah, the management team is much the same it has been for the last couple of years. James O'Donovan in charge of you. How much, just having that continuity as well off the pitch and the support that you've gotten and the experiences that you've shared together, how important will that be coming into another final?
Yeah, I think we're almost like a little family now at this stage because we played so long into the season last year, and now we're back together again. So I think even if you talk about our fans and like our support that come to all the games, like even like you mentioned when we're playing over in Rossa Park, the amount of people from the local community that come and support us, I think like it's just so nice to see that everyone wants us to do well and is trying anything that they can to help us do well. So likewise with our management, like even if I just refer to James, like I'd say the amount of hours and effort that he puts into it is insane behind the scenes, and like you just want to almost do it for him just as much as you want to do it for yourself.
Indeed, very well said. Now, as you mentioned, it's a tough match. It's an opponent you know well. You mentioned that they've got serious quality, which of course they do. They've got the likes, the two McDonoughs, Lydia and Amy McDonough. They've also got Crony Lucy, who's their captain. They've got Grace Murphy. They've got Annie Marm. I'm not trying to frighten her. But they've also got Rosie Corkery, who's just back as well. This is from front to back, a very, very strong, very, very committed and an experienced panel. It mirrors your own record in the last couple of years of getting to Munster and All-Ireland finals. But I'd put it to you, Laura, that your defence, the likes of Michelle Donnellan, Aoife Hooley, Ali Tobin, Fiona Leonard, Sarah Hurley, Lisa Hart, Annella Hayes, in goal, very, very tight this year, and you've kept some very, very talented forward lines. You've kept them to, you know, small scores, and that's down to that unit at the back. How important are they, especially when you're coming up against the likes of the McDonoughs and the Granny Lucys and the Grace Murphys?
Yeah, I think like you said, the girls from Naba Vaughan are brilliant players, and I wouldn't trust anyone else, only our back line, to hopefully keep them out and get us over the line. You know, like even when you be playing against them at training, it's like hitting a brick wall at some stage. Like, they're absolutely brilliant. And I just hope that they have the confidence in themselves like we do as well in the midfield and forward line.
Excellent stuff. Clidove on Sunday at 2 o'clock is the venue for this year's 2024 Cork LGFA Intermediate County Final. Two sides, O'Donovan Rossa, as we've mentioned already, the reigning All-Ireland Junior Champions from last year, going up against Naba Vaughan, the 2022 All-Ireland Junior runners-up, and they lost that game to Saltin Lochnacara from Galway, who went on, of course, to dominate the senior level. Two fantastic teams. It's going to be a brilliant, brilliant match. I'd advise any neutrals, apart from people from O'Donovan Rossa and from Naba Vaughan, to go and watch this. It's going to be a cracking game. Laura Manny, captain of O'Donovan Rossa, we appreciate the time as ever here on the Big Red Bench, and the very best of luck to you on Sunday.
Thanks a million, Ger.
And here's Ger McCarthy speaking to Amy McDonough of Naba Vaughan.
Delighted to be joined now by Niamh Evans and Cork senior Amy McDonough ahead of this weekend's Cork LGFA Intermediate County Final in Clonduff at 2 p.m. on Sunday between Niamh Evans and O'Donovan Rossa. Amy, you're very welcome to the Big Red Bench. How are you?
Good, Ger. How are you?
I'm not too bad. No, you're busily preparing for a UCC game, so we can't keep it too long. So it's obvious that you're quite busy at the moment. But a quick chat about Niamh Evans, back in an Intermediate County Final for the second year in a row. Lost out to Glanmire last year by a single point. Can I ask you, Amy, just in the build-up to this game with O'Donovan Rossa, has last year's final been a motivating factor, or have you spoken about it much at all?
I suppose it's not something we mentioned much. Obviously, at the time, it was really heartbreaking to lose at such a close game. But all year, it was kind of, this is where we wanted to be. This is our aim, to reach the same position and prove ourselves. And like, the lead up to a county final is always so exciting. So yeah, we knew that this is where we wanted to be, and we just took each step at a time. And thank God, we have reached it now.
Yes, you have, and you've done very, very well in this year's round robin section, came to the semi-finals to reach this final. You're meeting a team you know quite well, because back in 2022 it was O'Donovan Rossa who Niamh Evans beat 4-6-1-10 to win the Junior A County Final, before going on to become Munster champions by beating Ula in Limerick and going all the way to the All-Ireland Final, where unfortunately you came up short against Salthill Knocknacara from Galway. The experiences of 2022, Amy, obviously disappointing not to win the All-Ireland, but getting to an All-Ireland Final, going all the way, establishing yourselves as an intermediate team, how much has that benefited this young squad and the players that have come into it over the past 2 years?
Yeah, oh, I think it was a huge benefit to us. Like, the experience of being able to play such big games really showed, and I even think just the experience of the All-Ireland series for both ourselves and O'Donovan Rossa has really proved throughout the group stages this year and gotten us both over the line. I think you can tell it in both teams. We both have really young teams, but the experience has really, really proved itself vital.
Certainly, as you mentioned, your team there as well. There's yourself and Granny Lucy usually patrolling around the middle of the park, but you've got the likes of Colleen Phelan, Lucy Hughes, Joanne Kelly, and then that forward line of Annie Maher and Lydia McDonough. I know you know her quite well, and Grace Murphy. Similar to O'Donovan Rossa, having spoken to Laura O'Mahony, Amy, good spread of scores. You're not reliant on any one player in each of your matches, and this is a solid team with a lot of experience.
Yeah, no, I think everyone has really taken a step up this year, and this scores coming from all over the pitch, as you said, Colleen, Annie Maher, Grace, they're all proving themselves. Everyone really is putting in all the effort, and the same as them, we're not relying on any one person. Anyone can do the same job. Lydia and Grace have really been racking up their scores, all right, but it's, as you said, it's coming from the back line. We've had cornerbacks scoring and everything, so it's really good to see that.
Talk to me about the return of Rosie Corkery to your back line as well. You've got a very settled back line, back division, but having somebody with Rosie's experience coming into the team again now, how important has that been for you?
Very, yeah. She was a loss, all right, the last time when we played Skib. She only came on towards the end of the game, but over the last few games, the work rate that she's put in has been unbelievable. She's everywhere where the ball is. She's hounding it down everyone, and she's putting in so much effort. So I think her experience in the back line will really link up everyone together for the game on Sunday.
A big game on Sunday indeed, as we said, the county final, the intermediate county final between Niamh Evans and O'Donovan Rossa in Clonduff at 2 p.m. You mentioned the last time you've already met this season in the round robin section of the intermediate championship, only a point in it down in Skibbereen, 1-9-0-11. Is there much to be taken from that, Amy, or is this a brand new game all over again?
I think it shows that we're very similar teams. The way we play, the style we play is both very similar. We've kind of had the same setup of a team now for the last, over this champion season so far. So I think we're just very similar teams. So I think it will be a similar enough game the next day. It will just be very, very close on Sunday.
And your management team, obviously in charge of your management team, you've got your dad, Noel McDonough, in charge. Not that it's been difficult, but how different, I suppose, is it when he's obviously your dad and you care about him very much, but when he's the coach, yeah, is he a little bit harder on you, or does he let you off for too much?
I think he treats myself and Lydia the same as everyone else, really. Like, everyone has to show that they're worth putting on the pitch, so we have to do the same as everyone else. But it's a laugh all the same, having him there on the sideline with us, like.
Yeah, it's a laugh, or it's hard to get information out of him, I can tell you, from the manager, or from the journalistic point of view, but in a good sense, like any good manager, he doesn't give too much away.
I can't imagine what.
The build-up to this particular final, Amy, it is another intermediate final. You were there last year, you know the experience, you've been to Dublin, you've been to an All-Ireland final, but the build-up this time round, is it any different? Are you that bit more settled as a panel heading into it?
Yeah, I think we are. Like, it's everyone's anticipating this game so much, and like we've had so many different players, and I suppose we won the Junior B2 County Final last week against O'Donovan Rossa as well. So I just think having all the girls from the younger girls having experience in that will really show we have all them as options as subs for this game as well. So hopefully that will be worth it as well.
Yeah, nice timely reminder there, Amy, of that match in the Junior B County and the fact that it was over O'Donovan Rossa. You did mention as well, though, that the two of you know each other quite well over the last 2 years playing and coming up through the ranks. They've got some very, very good and talented players, as you well know, the likes of Laura Manny, the likes of Ava O'Donovan. Yeah. But similar to yourselves, Amy, they are a unit, they are a panel, they are a squad. There's no out-and-out superstar. This is going to go right down to the wire, I would imagine.
Yeah, oh, definitely. They're such an even team all over. Like, everyone on their pitches is so, so good. And we've just been lucky the last few times. We've just about come out on top, but they've always given us such a tough game. So I'm sure that they'll do the same on Sunday, and just hopefully that we do come out on top of that.
From your own point of view, it's been quite a long season, obviously, with Cork and inter-county season, then running straight into the Intermediate Championship. There isn't much change over much time or downtime. We're now into late October and you're still playing football. Obviously, from your own point of view, you want to keep going for as long as you can. How difficult is it, though, as a club and an inter-county player? Do you feel the tiredness at this time of the year, or does reaching a final mean you don't even notice it?
I suppose I don't really notice it much. Maybe by the time December comes around, we'll have college football and everything, so I feel like it might be all building up by then. But I suppose when you have a game like this to look forward to, you wouldn't really think much about it. You just have to plough on and keep putting in the effort, and hopefully we'll get over the line, and it might start to kick in then, but hopefully we'll make it through another while.
Yeah, the adrenaline will keep you going for another bit up to and beyond Sunday, says you. Much like Skibbereen have gotten behind this O'Donovan Rossa Ladies Football Club, people of Ballyvourney and the surrounding areas have been very, very supportive of you. I've also noticed you mentioned your Junior B team, but underage as well, there's a huge push over the last couple of years. A lot of young girls have taken up football and are sticking with it in your locality. Have you noticed that? And I mean, I will tell you that it's down to your success over the last 2-3 years. How important is it, though, that the underage section of the club stays healthy? And it must be refreshing, though, to see so many young girls in that area, in Ballyvourney and the surrounding areas, getting stuck into Neva Vaughan.
Yeah, no, I definitely think the huge success that we had back 2 years ago really, really showed, and everyone's saying, and people who kind of given up have come back to say, like, there's 35 to 40 at all our training so far. Like, last night, there was 35 at the training, so it's really showing that there's such a push for football at the moment, and, like, the underage girls are doing so, so good. The under 16 girls won the county final recently enough, and they're all playing junior as well, and obviously they won the Junior B2 as well not so long ago, so hopefully these successes will keep continuing within the club.
Indeed. All-Ireland Junior Final runners-up in 2022. Intermediate County Championship runners-up in 2023. Neva Vaughan go in search of glory on Sunday in Clodagh at 2 p.m. against O'Donovan Rossa in this year's Cork LGFA Intermediate Football Championship County Final. Don't miss it. If you're a neutral, try and get down there. It's going to be an absolute cracker between two hugely talented teams. But for now, Cork and Neva Vaughan's Amy McDonough, thank you very, very much for taking the time to speak to us here on the Big Red Bench.
Thanks, Dirk.
That's all we have time for here on the Big Red Bench. In fact, we've gone a little bit over time. Dan Casey signing off on Cork's Good Times Red FM. Huge thanks to all our contributors, especially, of course, our very own John McCarthy. Marty Guilfoyle is on the way next.